Welcome back to Rick and Elaine Discuss the Bible, and in particular, the Book of Job. Good afternoon, Elaine Ray Clark.
Oh, well done. You remember. Good morning, young man. How you doing? Yeah.
You keep calling me young man.
And well, to me, you are a young man.
I'm not young. I'm older than you think.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, at the end of the day, you're still younger than me. So you will always in eternity be younger than me.
But listen to this. First of all, I don't know how old you are. And second of all, I'm not even asking.
Do you really care?
It doesn't make a difference. Age is a number that doesn't matter. Once you get over the age of 25, it doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't. No.
Not to me. Well, we had some more comments that were sent to us. You know, we just recorded on Monday, released on Tuesday. Now it's Wednesday. This is New Year's Eve.
They're on the ball, then.
Yeah, so you guys who are watching now are already in the new year. And I think it's probably, the 6th of January if you're watching this?
6th of January?
That's when it comes out. For us, we're doing it.
I thought you said that. I thought, where in the world are they 6 days, 7 days ahead of us?
They're 7 days ahead of us. Or less, actually, 6 days. But
oh, dear.
But a lot of our friends made some comments. And I'll start here. Tony Driver. She said, for me,
Hi, Tony.
For me, I have to remember God's grace has the final word. Great study.
Bless your heart. I know. Wonderful that you're listening. And it's wonderful that you're contributing. Just keep coming.
Yeah, I love these people. I do. I'm so glad that I've met them. Lori Stone, I sent the questions. And now we're going to go ahead and tell you the reason why there was a long response. I'm going to tell you even for myself. Those questions are big and important, and
vast.
I don't know the answer to some of them.
No.
Or if I do, I haven't quite fully developed.
Meaning of some of them.
I know. So now I've given them to you. You gave them to me on the 25th of November. I gave them to Elaine yesterday. So you're going to have to give us some time. I think we're going to do a little side chat and talk about this a little bit. Mm. Maybe we might record it and then send it out there for you, Lori. But
I mean, to be honest with you, there's an awful lot there, Lori. I mean, in each sort of question, there's sort of an hour long, if not more, study on those things. And it would be a mammoth task to go through the whole lot to sort of answer it. Maybe to your satisfaction, because they're quite intellectual.
Yeah.
The wording and the whole sort of format of it all. So, I think Elaine, a bit more simple than that.
And Elaine and I need to make it very clear to you that we're not intellectuals. We're not. All right. But Lori did comment on our study that came out yesterday. She said, love you both. No worries on the questions. They will come out as we study together. So we don't even have to answer them, she said. Hope to meet you both in person someday at one of the conferences. I am jealous, I guess because we're trying to get a Berean. And then she said, LOL. I also had the Hebrew word for evil on my follow-up list. Glad to see Alan bring it up and appreciated your post on it. Also want to dig into the Adam and Eve pattern a bit more. Hope to have some questions once I get thought this episode. I don't know what that means. Once I think through this episode, I think. Thanks so much, she said. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, well, actually, you must have read our minds about that because, we're hoping that these things might come out. And if, again, this Genesis thing, I think that we should revisit that and really go through it with a fine-tooth comb.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now I'm a little bit more used to actually talking because the first few studies, I'd never, ever done anything like this before.
Right.
So it was, it was a bit sort of scary and I felt like I had to rush it because, all my life I've sort of been shut down by people. And so I tend to sort of talk 10 to the dozen simply because I don't get that amount of time. But Rick in his wonderful beauty has allowed me this time and I'm gradually slowing down.
The wonderful beauty that is Rick, huh? Oh, boy. The thing she was mentioning was an article I put out. Guys, if you look at this picture, it says, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. It's from the movie The Princess Bride. And if you remember, Alan Thompson had made the comment about he wanted to do a study in Hebrew on the word evil.
Yeah.
So on my Patreon, guys, if you haven't seen it, I've got a post on there. And it's called When Evil Doesn't Mean What We Think It Means. And I did an in-depth study of the word Ra and how it's used in the book of Job and elsewhere in the scripture. And when I released that, I'll send you the link to that if you'd like to read it, Elaine. It's not very long. It's not very long, but I reminded people to go to Sarah Fisher's blog, Hebrew Word Lessons. I had interviewed her. So here's what Alan Thompson said in regard to our study. Pastor Alan Thompson, one of our friends from. Whoa! Sorry. The comment, he says, well, the rock stars have done it again. Great show.
Oh, how wonderful.
I know,
Oh,
so
bless him.
much to
He's easily
say.
pleased.
He's easily pleased. Got a couple of morons talking to you, and you love it. I love it. I speak for myself here, Elaine.
Morons of Berea.
All right, so much to say about the excellent work that both of you did regarding this dark lamentation from someone in the depths of, quote, evil, which in that regard means calamity and distress.
Darkness.
He says, I'll keep it short, though. Thank you for the excellent observation of a shift in writing style from prose to poetry, another nugget of Bible study gold. I love the banter between you two. I love the reading of it in a translation that I have very little experience with, talking about the complete Jewish Bible. In a captivatingly beautiful accent. Yes, we're all a sucker
Oh, wow. You are. I
for.
am a thespian. I have trodden the boards. I'm an actor.
And he says, I love to hear the dialogue as you both wrestle with the text. Thank you, Alan. We love to do this. This is one of our
Absolutely.
fun.
And it's just so wonderful to know that you're listening and that you're
Yeah.
contributing to it. And, it just amazes me and it humbles me to think that anything that I might say might have any value to my brothers and sisters. It really is humbling because I've never really been listened to before in my life. And it's very, I haven't got a husband who's a Christian. I've never had one. So again, I've been thrown out of churches. So it's really so wonderful to hear people just finding what I have to say of value. And I can't tell you how humbling that is. And I just thank you from the bottom of my heart, my brothers and sisters. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and listen, Elaine, I have a dedicated wife who loves the Lord with the whole of her heart, and she doesn't want to hear me ramble on. And so it doesn't matter. You can have a Christian spouse, but that doesn't mean they want to hear you talk. Now,
No, I'll tell you what though, Rick, he's listened to everything that I have to say, and he probably knows more about the Bible than 95% of people that go to church.
I would absolutely believe that with how much that you've read it and studied it and talk about it.
Oh,
My
yes.
wife will listen to me. Now, don't get me wrong, but here's the thing. Like, I talk a lot. I'm on all kinds of
No,
studies. Yeah. And I've
no.
got a podcast. I'm always jacking my jaw. So after a while, like I used to go in the bedroom in the morning and give her coffee in the morning to wake up. And I would just go talk, blah, 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 blah. And after a while, she was like, could I take a sip of my coffee so I can wake up? Bless her heart. So I stopped doing that altogether. I was like, all right, I need to give her a
Yeah, I
minute.
think a little. I think the thing is, at the end of the day, I don't understand these people that go to bed all happy and get up miserable. I go to bed happy and I wake up happy and I'm,
Yeah.
it's toning it down, isn't it?
My problem
It's the
is like
Deo
I did.
syndrome.
Yeah. When I talk about like the struggles that I've had with my business this year, the grief, the death, just the calamity that's come upon me in my life, I have I go to bed, like I go to bed fine, I go to sleep, but in my nighttime sleeping, my subconscious mind is just going crazy. And so
Absolutely.
I wake up like in distress sometimes. And I'm like, what's going on? And when you get to Job, later on in Job, he'll talk about this. Job talks about how sometimes in the night, it's almost like night terrors, like he's got these things.
Absolutely.
So he's like, I can't even sleep because of all this worry. And
Yeah.
that's some of the stuff. But when I wake up, then I just got to take it to the Lord. That's what I got to do. I
Yeah.
just take it to the Lord and then I'm good. So I'm fine when I'm awake and I can talk to the Lord, but when I'm asleep, I need the Lord to give me that
I think we go into
subconscious.
that on chapter. I think we go into that a little bit in chapter 4, don't we? Starting at 12.
Really, yes. And you really do get into it in chapter, I think it's chapter 7 and 8, whenever, or chapter 7, I mean, whenever Job is speaking, he talks about that a little bit. But before we get started, I want to say this, guys. As I said in our last study, we're going to do Job 4 through 7, and that's a lot. That's a lot. And what I'm going to try to do, or what me and Elaine are going to try to do together, is we're going to try to show you the wisdom literature and why this is in the Bible. But also, when these friends of Job's begin to speak, they actually say some things that are correct. They do, but their worldview is wrong. And that's what's wild.
Exactly, and that's what I put. That's what I put here. Again, excellent reasonings, but misapplied to Job. Again,
Yes. And
and
so,
this is the whole thing. Their reasoning about God is excellent,
yeah.
but they're misapplying it.
Exactly. They're misapplying it. And that is exactly, we're going to bring this full circle in each study that we do because we've got a few things. Let me read this. I have this Bible called the Companion Bible. And the Companion Bible was given to me by a friend named Doug Parson. I meet with him and have lunch every Friday. He's like 84. And
Say
I
hello to
just,
him for me.
I
Quite
will.
rude.
I love to sit down and listen to him talk, but he repeats himself over and over and over. And he was like, you just
Repetition for
need,
emphasis, though, Rick.
and guess what? I haven't forgotten the things that he said because he said it so much. But
Exactly.
I want to make
Exactly.
something that I want to bring up something here at the beginning of this study so that you guys can understand why my frame of mind in this study is set up this way. Because
And I just
Job,
want to let them know that it's all new to me what Rick's going to say. So we're all of us listening. We're all in the same boat here.
that's right. This is new to you because I did not put this in my notes. But in Job chapter 42, verse 7, listen to this. And it says, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. And then he tells them to go and make these sacrifices, and they do. But here's what's important. After Job sits in silence for 7 days and 7 nights with his friends, then he speaks in chapter three. When you get to chapter four, it's Eliphaz the Temanite that decides to speak first. And I think that's why God speaks to him first, because he's like, you kicked this off. And here's the thing. You haven't spoke what is right about me, but Job has. So what we can say here, this is what's going to be wild, guys. It doesn't mean that everything that Job says is correct. What it means is that his posture towards God is correct. That's what's really
Absolutely.
wild, okay? So Job will actually do, he'll say some things and overreach beyond what theology gives. He's speaking from the heart
Absolutely.
in his suffering.
In his
So
pain.
yes, and he's looking to God. He's not cursing God. He's looking to God and he's being honest with God.
That's exactly, and that's the word honest. He's
Yes.
opening his heart, no matter how awful it might sound, no matter how sort of damning it might be to him. He's still opening his mouth in honesty, in
Yes.
truthfulness, and
So,
that's how he
yes.
felt in his suffering.
When you look at David and you say he's a man after God's own heart, and you see the wreck of a life that he lived and the stuff that David went through, how can he also be the man after God's own heart? And that's because of his honesty. His
Absolutely.
posturing towards God is why. Because ultimately, David will, he'll call himself out. I am a sinner before God. Sometimes he has to hear it from Nathan. But he still listens and he repents and he gets in ash, like he bows down. I mean, that's what Job's doing. Job's like, we're getting ready to get into what his friend says. His friend does say some things that are right, but it's how he's saying them to Job that's wrong.
It's misguided. And not only that, when you think about David, the difference was he did do some grave sins. He did commit some grave sins. And the thing is, God forgives your sin, but you still live with consequences.
Yes,
And
you
he
do.
gives you the comfort to then live through those consequences. He doesn't sort of take it all away. Yes, he forgives you. It's pure as the driven snow. I choose to remember no more. But the consequences you suffer, where Job, in his honesty, he didn't really do anything that deserved what he had. I mean, obviously, he's a sinful man simply because, he's from the loins of our forefather Adam.
Right.
But he didn't do anything, but he was misguided in his reasoning. And as it says, he's honest. David wasn't honest. He tried to cover it up.
Right,
He was
right.
caught out in his own trickery. He tried to just make
Yes,
out, didn't he?
you sure
Whereas we
did.
have a different idea here with Job. This is a man that is just being totally honest, can't work it out, starts to reason, God got it wrong. And then God answers him. But then we know that how God ends it because he blesses him, rewards him, or gifts him, shall we say, with
Yes.
all these things. It's not as if he then suffers consequences of something like David did. I mean, there was always pandemonium in his house after those things.
Yes, absolutely.
Whereas Job, it was the other way around. So yes, they're coming from the same sort of angles, but not poles apart.
Right. And You know, I said at the very beginning of this that I'm a moron, but just hear me out.
Us. I think
I'll
you
prove
included me
it.
in that, though, Rick.
No, I shouldn't have. I'm going to open my mouth and prove it now. No, but the
Morons win
reality
again.
is, this is wisdom literature as well. I believe this is an actual thing that happened. I do believe it happened because James references it. And I don't think he's
He does.
referencing it as a story. I think he's referencing it as a man who went through this.
Well, do you know what? I was thinking about that because I looked up the men of faith and stuff like that, and I was looking that many of them were prior to Abraham. You got Enoch, you've got Abel, you've got Noah, and I just wondered whether he was in it. But of course, he's not in there. I had to
No,
check it twice,
he's
but he's
not.
not in there. And
You
you
know
think just.
why? He's not from the promised line.
No, exactly. But this is what I'm saying. This is why I think that it's the men that pass on the seed that you could marry women. Like he was a man outside the covenant arrangement, outside of Abraham. But of course, you can bring women in. Like you had Ruth. You had Rahab. You see, it's always the male that is carried through. You can introduce women into the line. It doesn't matter. But if you are a Hebrew man and you are a Hebrew woman bringing a Gentile into that, you're done for. You're done for.
That's it. You're exactly right. So here's what I would like to do if you're willing to do it with me here. What we're going to try to do is show you the worldview of each one of these men as we go. And then we're going to show you how Job responds to this. And it's brilliant. This is the most brilliant book I've ever read. Like when I and I put a lot of effort in, and Revelation is too, all of the books are. But this book in particular, guys, you got to put on your serious thinking cap. Like you really got to stop. You can't just read through this willy-nilly. You
No.
cannot. So, Elaine, would you be willing? I know this is a lot. Please forgive me, guys, but would you be willing to read from the Complete Jewish Bible chapters 4 and 5 in order? And guys, if you would, like I told you before, put your stuff to the side, lean back, close your eyes, just listen. If you're at work and you're working on the job and you got your headphones in, just listen. I want it, this is the word of God that's been preserved down through the ages. Hear it. Hear it being spoken to you in a beautiful British ac or English accent.
Exactly. And if I falter, just forgive me because it's a long, long
It's a lot, but please
time.
listen. This is the friend who finally opens his mouth to speak back after Job. Keep in mind what Job chapter 3 was. It was a lot of darkness and a lot of anguish and a lot of
There
hurt.
was.
This man's going to speak.
Right. Then Eliphaz the Temani spoke up. If one tries to speak to you, will you mind? Yet who could keep from speaking? You have given moral instruction to many. You have firmed up feeble hands. Your words have supported those who were stumbling, and you have strengthened the weak-kneed. But now it comes to you, and you are impatient. At the first touch, you are in shock. Isn't your fear of God your assurance and the integrity of your ways your hope? Think back. What innocent person has perished? Since when are the upright destroyed? What I see is that those who plough sin and sow trouble reap just that. At a breath from God, they perish. At a blast from his anger, they are consumed. The lion may growl, the king lion may roar, but that old lion's teeth are broken. So the lion succumbs from lack of prey. And the lion's cubs are scattered. For a word was stealthily brought to me. My ear caught only a whisper of it. In passing, thoughts flashing through visions at night, when sleep lies heavy on people, a shiver of horror came over me. It made all my bones tremble. Then a spirit passed in front of my face. The hair on my flesh stood on end. It stood still, but I couldn't make out its appearance. Yet the form stayed there before me. Then I heard a subdued voice. Can a human be seen by God as righteous? Can a mortal be pure before his maker? God doesn't trust his own servants. He finds fault even with his angels, much more those living in houses of clay whose foundation is in the dust. They are crushed more easily than a worm, shattered between morning and evening. They perish forever and no one takes notice. Their cord within them is pulled up. Then they die without ever gaining wisdom. This is five. Call if you like, but will anyone answer? To which of the holy ones will you turn? For anger kills the fool, and envy slays the silly. I watch as the fools establish roots, but I curse his home with sudden destruction. His children are far from help, publicly humiliated with no one to rescue. The hungry eat up his harvest, taken even from among the thorns, while the thirsty are panting, eager to swallow his wealth, for misery does not come from the dust or trouble spring from the ground. No, people are born for trouble, as surely as sparks fly upward. If I were you, I would seek God. I would make my plea to him, for God does great deeds beyond investigation, wonders beyond all reckoning. He gives rain to the earth, pours water down on the fields. He raises the lowly on high and lifts mourners to safety. He frustrates the schemes of the cunning so that they achieve no success, trapping the crafty in their own tricks and foiling quickly the plans of the false. They meet with darkness during the day, groping at noon like at night. But he saves the poor from the sword, their mouth, and from the clutches of the strong, so the poor can hope again, and injustice shuts its mouth. How happy the person whom God corrects. So don't despise Shaddai's discipline, for he wounds, but he bandages the sore. His hands may strike, but they also heal. He will rescue from sin six, yes, even seven disasters. No harm will touch you. In famine, he will save you from death, and in war, from the power of the sword. You will be shielded from the lash of the tongue, and you won't have to fear destruction when it comes. You'll be able to laugh at destruction and famine. Also, you won't have any fear of wild animals, for you will be in league with the stones in the field, and the wild animals will be at peace with you. You will know what your tent is safe. You will look around your home and miss nothing. You will know that your descendants are many, your offspring like grass growing thick in the fields. You will come to your grave at a ripe old age, like a pile of grain that arrives in season. We've looked into this, and that's how it is. Listen and know that it is for your own good.
So that's what's so crazy about Eliphaz, is that there's some things that he's saying that are absolutely right.
Spot on.
But there is something that is absolutely wrong with this.
He's aiming it at the wrong person, really, isn't he?
He believes that the world is morally ordered by a reliable principle. Okay? His assumption is like a wisdom axiom. This is what I wrote. Moral cause and effect is stable and visible. If someone suffers, the safest explanation is that something is morally out of place. Wrong. Wrong.
Exactly.
So his worldview frames, he's like, I've seen this. Now, I love how he starts out in the first. When he comes out, he says, you've been the kind of man that has helped people. The weak need, you've shored them up. He's talking about the actual character of Job as he was when he was the greatest man in the East. When he saw people suffering, Job stepped in. Job helped. Job tried to lift them out of the dust, let's say, right? So Eliphaz knows this about his friend. And he says, but as soon as it comes to you, now you're going to be impatient with God?
Do you think there's a little bit of jealousy going on?
I think that Eliphaz is making it clear.
He's a little bit of sort of like taking the moral high ground.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? You were the greatest in the East, but now you're not. So welcome to my world, pal. He might have even been helped.
Let me give you a little bit of wisdom here. Let me sort you out a little bit.
He might have even helped. He might have even been helped by Job at some point. We don't know. It doesn't say. But
exactly.
That can happen. That can happen. So he recognizes that Job's character is, when you're in the dust, I'll help restore you. That's the kind of man that I am. We know that Job's that way when it came to his children, how he's offering sacrifices for his children because of his love as God. Perhaps they may have forgotten God in all of this. You know, he's you called him, a just-in-caser, right? But so Eliphaz comes right out, you know, and he's like, in verse 8, he says, as I have seen, this is chapter 4, verse 8, as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. But you know what's really funny? Like, in a lot of ways, that is true. A lot of ways we can see that. Like, God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We know that that's a truth, right? But we have been given some inside information. We got Job chapter 1 and 2. We know it has nothing whatsoever to do with anything morally with Job at
Exactly.
all. So we know the truth. We're that extra fourth wall looking in on the picture.
We
So
are.
we know Eliphaz is incorrect. He's
Yeah.
not correct in this case when it comes to Job. Yes,
It just
whatsoever a
shows.
man reaps, or so shall he also reap, but not in this case. That's not what's
Exactly.
going on.
That's right. It shows that there's a lesson going on here for everyone because they know only a certain aspect of God. You know, a little knowledge in the wrong hands is a very dangerous thing.
Yes.
And I think that they've got knowledge. They think it's the full knowledge, but in reality, it's only a small part of the picture of knowledge. And as we go through and we certainly get to the end of it, we start to have a revelation about how wrong they are. And
Right.
like you said at the end, how wrong they are is that even Job has to pray for them because God's sort of like, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? Eliphaz, he's going from his life experiences where he's really, and we anybody should know. I talk about experience as a Christian all the time. I talk about when the Holy Spirit has worked through me or he has done something for me or taught me. Yes, I believe that those experiences are real because we have the Holy Spirit now. However, you can't base everything just on experience. I also base things based on the Word of God that he allowed us to have to read and understand and learn from. So there are things that experience will mislead you, and I've had experiences mislead me, and that's exactly what's happening with Eliphaz as well. Eliphaz has had experiences in life. For example, it's like he's saying, Job, I hear your pain, but I also know how the world works because I've
Yeah, or
lived
the
in the
Lord
world.
works. Exactly. El Elyon, how he works.
That's
But he doesn't
right.
really, does he?
No, and what's really wild is that Job is arguing, and we'll get to what he's saying later. But what you need to recognize, and this is what I love, thanks be to Jesus Christ our Lord, because we have his example to look upon to know the true wisdom and character of God in human situations,
That's right. And
because
even then
he never
sometimes we
failed.
get, yeah, that's exactly. And even then sometimes we get myself, I might be in a situation, but sometimes I think I've got God's stance on it, but then I have to be honest with myself and say, well, am I looking it through the eyes of I'm a bit annoyed, or am I angry,
Right.
am I distorted? And then this is where the honesty comes out. You have to say, well, Lord, I'm looking at your and I'm trying to justify something, but there is no justification for it. I just have to suck it up and say, this is what I need to do, Lord. And a bit like those two boys, that one didn't want to go out, but he did, and the other one wanted to go out, but he didn't. So,
Right.
and then you just force yourself and say, look, Lord, at the end of the day, I need to do it this way.
Yes, and also that is for the Christian. We have to stop and talk to him. We have to put ourselves in a posture towards him saying, I honestly don't know what to do right now.
That's right. And
Can you
sometimes
be
we
honest
don't.
with God? And the thing is, God can handle it. He does and will.
Well, let's face it, he knows exactly what you're thinking before you even think it. So it's not as if it's going to be a shock to him, is it?
No.
It's like your children. When they've been naughty, you know exactly what they've done, but you don't want to tell them. You want them to come to you to tell them. So you know you've got a good relationship and they can approach you even when there's something they've done that is wrong. And
Yes.
that is the same thing with God. He's not saying, well, actually, what have you done? Well, I'm really not privy to what you've done.
Yeah,
I know
and I
what you've
think that's
done. You
really
can't hide anything.
right. And to me, that's the lesson early on in this exchange between Eliphaz and Job, because
Yeah.
Eliphaz is talking about God. Job is talking to God, with
Yes.
God, saying, for example, all right, so Eliphaz says something that's correct here. He says, how happy the person whom God corrects. So do not despise Shaddai's discipline. There's nothing wrong with that.
Can you tell me where you are?
Yeah, sorry, I was in Job chapter 5, verse 17.
Right, okay.
In
Yeah.
the ESV, it says, behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves, therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty. Well, that's a true statement. Sometimes we are corrected, those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We are corrected. The Bible says that he corrects those whom he loves. But
That's right.
but
I mean,
Eliphaz is using this incorrectly. because he's saying this is a discipline to you based on a sin that you've committed. That's, we already know that's not true. So exactly. Even though Eliphaz is speaking a truth, he's misapplying it, like you said earlier in the study.
Exactly. And I've got the same thing, because he does it the same thing in verse 27, because I've got in verse 17, right thoughts, but wrongly applied to Job. And then in 27, I've got, again, excellent reasoning, but misapplied to Job again.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You know, again, excellent thought, excellent reasoning, but you don't haven't got the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit like they're sort of, again, looking at, well, you've only got all of that because you've done right. Now you've done wrong. You've had having it taken away from you. It's a bit like the Pharisees. They thought that they were righteous before God because they had all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It was just stuff. You know, God must be blessing me because I have all this stuff. He's not blessing you, obviously, because you haven't got what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Misapplied right. Again.
It's like the tax collector and the Pharisee in the temple that Jesus tells, where he says that the tax collector beat upon his breast and wouldn't even look up to heaven and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner.
Exactly.
And the Pharisees over there are like, I am so glad I'm not like that tax collector over there. And it's like, talk about missing the boat, right?
Can
like,
you
wow.
Imagine that?
Oh yes, God. I can, because I've seen people and I've even done it myself early on in life. Thanks be to God. He's taught me to get over that and humbled me. But goodness gracious, the self-righteousness of that man. And this is kind of where Eliphaz is at. Eliphaz is saying, look, I know how the world works. And I even had this dark spirit come and tell me this stuff. And I was like, what? Like, you're going to tell me that some dark spirit came in your nighttime and now you're going to explain to me how the world works? Like, I don't think so, Eliphaz.
No, I don't think so.
And he's also got this hidden assumption. Like, he says, you know, there's something inside you, Job, that's wrong. And then he, instead of being like, the 7 days and seven nights of silence really were the golden moment for him, yeah. For Eliphaz, if he'd have just kept his mouth shut. But he speaks up. And again, I think that's why God addresses him, because he's the one that opened his mouth first. So he's like, all right, I'm going straight to the source. This is the guy that kicked it off wrong to start with.
Right for the jugular.
Yeah, right for the jugular. So, but Eliphaz is like, it's obvious there's something that you have done. It's obvious. Now, who are you going to cry out to, Job? He's not actually in the suffering with him. Like Paul would tell us, weep with those who weep, you know, be in pain with those who are in pain. He's really not in pain. Now he's posturing himself and saying, let me guide you to the truth, sir. You're wrong. I know it is. Now, who are you going to call out to? You better get right with God. How many people have said that to me in the church? You better get right with Jesus. You better get right with it. I'm like, what do you mean get right? Like, how am I going to get right with Jesus? The only way that I'm going to be right is because of what Jesus did for me in the first place.
Exactly.
I can't even get into that part. Like, I can understand a repentant and a penitent heart. Yes, yeah. There's that, of course. But Job is going to reply. And I think we have time. I would definitely like for you to read Job's reply. But this vision in the night that Eliphaz says, like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, what? I'm wondering if that's the adversary because of what he says to him. What did he say to him? What was it that night vision said?
It's chapter 4, verse
12 through 13 somewhere.
Sort of, 16, really.
Yeah, because he's like, a word came to me in secret. And it's like, uh-oh. He's got the secret wisdom now that he's going to share with us.
Yeah.
And he thinks it's holy.
Ear, only a whisper of it.
Only a whisper. But I've got the whole, but here's the holy advice I got from it.
Got the whole picture.
Yeah. How many people have said that to me? Wow. Can mortal man be in right before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? Ouch. So now he's really looking at Job and he's like, let's get real, pal. He's taking the holiness of God and misapplying it. He's misapplying it again.
And then he has the audacity in 5 and 17 to say, how happy the person whom God corrects. So don't despise the discipline.
Right. And that's a truth. Like, that's a truth, but he's misapplying it. And he's basing it off a dark vision that he had. It's like, what is this, dude? Like,
I mean, it just amazes me that the poetic sort of license that they have here. I mean, I couldn't even make up one chapter as beautifully as it's been written down here. And I just think to myself, who actually wrote it down?
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, it's crazy.
It feels like, after everything I've ever heard from Solomon, like in the Proverbs, Man, it feels like a Solomon writing. Like, I'm not saying that he is, because a lot of people believe this is before Genesis even. But guys, it feels like Solomon is really working it here. Like he is. I'm probably wrong, but somebody that is as wise as Solomon, of course, Christ was wiser, wasn't he? But somebody who was as wise as Solomon wrote this book. It's like
Exactly. I mean,
really.
I know you said that sort of James sort of alludes to it because he says, you know, remember the outcome of Job. And I again, that has sort of fleetingly crossed my mind. Not that something dark came to me in the night and I heard a whisper of it.
Are you sure?
I'm being sarcastic, aren't I? Old sister, come down from that high horse.
Yeah, I saw a dark vision, so now I know the truth.
Exactly. Grovel on the roadside, the curbside there. But yeah, no, I just thought to myself, I wonder whether it was written down as some kind of story. You know, if it didn't actually happen, was it written by somebody who really wanted to get across how the reasonings of humans can be? They can go to the depths of reasonings, and their reasonings can be based on perfect, accurate understanding, but really not sort of aimed at the right people, you
Yeah, I
know?
mean, yeah, definitely. And this could just,
Because it's
yeah.
very poetic, and it's sort of, was it written down, you know? And it says there, you know, when it says James says, remember the outcome of Job, and I wonder whether it was moral instruction or
And
it
you
was
know
an
what? And it
instruction in the
could
ways.
be. It could be. Okay, so James could even be saying it like, do you remember the moral story of Job and what we learn?
Absolutely.
And so it's not about a real person. Like, you could look at it that way if you wanted. I suppose you could. I don't, but at the same
No.
time, I can understand how
I
James
mean,
could say this is a.
the thing is that Job could be all of us,
Oh,
and
yeah. And
Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar could be any of us.
dude, I don't know about you. Sorry to call you dude, but dudette. Sorry, the reality is that
Dudette.
people
I like
people, how many times have I, you know, people have come to me and talked to me and they're like, what sin is in your life that's preventing this from you? You know, and it's like, well, I've got a lot of sins, but I don't know which one in particular. Like, I've got all kinds of stuff, you know, and it's very confusing. And they miss the point of the posturing towards God. It's like when he said, you know, go to the Lord and don't forsake his reproof. Well, that's a good thanks, Eliphaz. You could have stopped there, you know, but don't posture it from I'm a sinner. Like, that's because we know that that's not the case with Job. That's not what's going on. We already know that.
That's right. And is again, is he sort of turning around? So when he says, "Remember the patience of Job," is he turning around and saying that you're going to have all these people come up against you, that you are going to
Yes.
have them saying you're getting it wrong, that you are going to have them trying to take you back to sort of like the temple and the priesthood and the sacrificial system? You're going to have pressure on you. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have all those things, but they're wrong. Remember that yes, they might be right as God allows it, but they're wrong in their reasoning towards you about it. So maybe he's
Right.
saying, remember the story of Job. Maybe it's a moral story.
And maybe it is. And if anything, from James' perspective, he's going to look at Job as a type of Christ character. That's how he's framing it, because love is patient, love is kind, love is long suffering, love it, you know, it doesn't seek its own. Job, what we already read it in Job chapter 42, verse 7, where God says, Job has presented me in the right frame of mind here. He's presented me correctly, and you three have done wrong, so therefore.
But again, you could also take that as well in Revelation 2, where it says that, you know, that I will have them come to you and worship at your feet, bow down to you. So it's almost like, once again, these ones have been sort of like saying these things. They're sort of trying to break them down, but keep your moral standing. Just stay firm because you understand who God is. But I will have them come to you, and they will realize that they are wrong and you are right. So you stand firm, stay strong, you know, understand that there is a reasoning behind it, and it is for the glory of God. That's exactly what it was with Job.
Yeah, there is an aspect of this. Thank you for saying that, because there is an aspect to this story. If you think about it, Job was the wisest man in the East, the greatest man in the East. He was all of that, and his friends have come to, you know, to bear the burden with him, to be with him in his suffering. But you want to know what's reality? They get blessed by being with this man who's in the depths of despair. They still
Exactly.
get the blessing from Job. They
And
still
that's the
get,
whole, and yeah,
yes.
exactly. And that's
And
the
the
whole
true God talks to these men.
Yeah. And
That wasn't happening before.
this is what I'm saying. It's a bit like that, you know, when it talks about in Luke chapter 16, where it sort of talks about, you know, about the manager cannot be sort of like looking after the interests of the homeowner. Mm-hmm. And he says to them, make friends of unrighteous riches, or what you consider to be unrighteous riches, so that when you mm-hmm. fail or when you die, because he's going to talk about them being buried in the next sort of like part of the five-part parable.
Right.
And he says, make friends, and then they will invite you into everlasting arms. So mm-hmm. he's not sort of advocating that he was right in the way that he operated, because he was deceiving, and he was underhanded, the manager that was given the boot, so to speak. But he says that at the end of the day, make friends with unrighteous riches, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking that here they are saying that you must have done something wrong. I'm right, you must have done something wrong. But they were distorted in their viewpoint, the same as the Pharisees. But mm-hmm. again, like you said, who was the one that ended up praying and welcoming them back into the fold, even though that they had done wrong?
Mm-hmm.
It was Job.
Yes, it is. You
know? So again, you know, there's all these linkings. You know, that's what I was thinking about this, you know, over the last day or two since Monday, and just thinking there's so many sort of links to the New Testament or the letters of the apostles and the gospels that, you know, you're just thinking, now, is this a sort of a moral story that is being drawn upon, you know, that you can go back to it and just say, look, this is the outcome of Job. Remember it, all that he went through, all that was stuff that was thrown at him. He didn't understand what was going on. You do. You mm-hmm. know now the story. Like you just said, we are privy to that. We're the fourth wall. We can see him.
Mm-hmm.
And they could then.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying, remember the story of Job. He didn't even have that fourth wall to be able to see him. Remember his patience. You know, are even more forward in the understanding and the knowledge mm-hmm. of what's going on here. Stand firm, because you know the outcome of Job. You know what happened. And not only that, you not only knew the outcome physically, that he would get more stuff, but also how he was blessed by God, by knowing God more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing, isn't it? You know, to know God more. So this is, you know, this is why I say to you, is this really now somebody that is a real character, or is it sort of somebody that's bringing in through this wonderful sort of like the poetic aspect, this depth of it's just such a richness, like a banquet, isn't it, you know, mm-hmm. of emotions and different aspects of who's throwing their tuppence worth in, you know. And you just
I will acknowledge that this could be a wisdom literature piece
to teach the
Hebrews humanity and what their posturing towards God should be and where people go wrong, and really showing them, like, because again, I don't think that Job's within the covenant line, but he's teaching the covenant line, kind of like the way that Paul says the Gentiles have a law unto themselves, you know, do the law without knowing the law, or a law unto themselves. I would say that this is the case for Job. Job has the correct posture towards God, and God brought the adversary to him to prove it.
Exactly. And not only that, we don't know, again, you know, this is once again, you know, is it again like a teaching aspect, simply because we know that Job wasn't of that line. Job was a Gentile, whether it was before Abraham, because Abraham was a Gentile, mm-hmm. you know, or after Abraham, or and that sort of like the line that Christ would eventually come through. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it just makes you think. The whole thing, you know, the whole idea, because they would have understood that Job was a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he, you know, and maybe that might be a teaching, just as Job was a Gentile, you know, and God worked with him. Now we're mm-hmm. working with the Gentiles, simply because, you know, this is what God, or he always wanted to bring the nations back in after casting them off, because immediately he said to Abraham, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Mm-hmm. That's it, you know. Yeah. And he believed, and he was credited with righteousness because he believed God. And like Paul says, now, was he credited with righteousness in circumcision or out of circumcision?
Right.
But it was out.
Yeah, it was out.
Mm-hmm. And the sign was given as, or circumcision was given as a sign. So once again, is he sort of bringing all these different aspects are being brought in? The further you go, it's like a treasure trove, isn't it, really? The more you think about it.
Yes, the more you dig, the more, absolutely.
You know.
So let's do something. The latest thing that we were talking about that Eliphaz said had to do, like, basically, can you compare yourself to the holiness of God? Job, and when you're going to him, like, of whom can you ask? Can you really compare yourself? And that is like a punch in the mouth. It's almost like if I were to look at my sister-in-law who just lost her daughter and say, yeah, but you can't, I mean, can you really look at God and be angry at him? And he's the holiest of holies. It's like, you don't say that to somebody that just lost their child, much less 10 children and everything that you had. Like, he is, Eliphaz is definitely posturing and elevating him a little bit. And he's like, hey, this is the holy God that you're talking about over here, right?
Exactly.
And
And
Job's
that and
like, wait a minute. I definitely want you to read Job's response here in a minute, because I want everybody to just listen to how Job responds to this. And if you don't get it, read it yourself like three or four times, because it's
right. I
brilliant,
just
his
want to make
response.
that because you said that you made what scripture was it that you were reading? Can a
Verse,
man
yeah, it's four, chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, where can a mortal
right?
be
Can a
righteous
human
before
be seen
God?
by God as right? Can a mortal man make his so he's actually talking, and I like the fact here in and here we are, these are words that are being spoken out by Eliphaz, right? These words are sort of quite cutting, really, although it sounds very righteous and it is, but it's
Yeah.
quite hurtful because Job knows exactly what he's done in his life. And then,
Right.
but I love chapter 5 where he says, where it talks about, about if I were you, I would seek God. And then he goes on to give like the next few verses. But then he says, he saves the poor from the sword, their mouth. He saves the poor from the sword, their mouth. So therefore, if Eliphaz is actually saying he saves the poor from the sword, which is the mouths that open these words, but Eliphaz is the one that's actually sort of condemning him through these words
That's
that he's
right.
saying he could be saved from.
That's right. No,
It's crazy,
that's the
isn't
irony of this story. That's what's so ironic, because it's like a lot of things he's saying is true, but it's how he's applying it. He's applying it wrong.
Exactly.
And
Oh, I
so,
know.
because like, do you think Job thought he was pure? If Job thought he was pure, he never would have offered sacrifices in the first place. He's look,
No.
and Job's going to come out and say that here in just a minute. He's going to be like, oh my goodness, if I could have these things weighed against my holiness, goodness gracious, like,
I know.
in comparison to you, Eliphaz, let me show you something here. But that's not what this is about. It has nothing to do with my purity at all. It has everything to do with what God has ordained to happen. And it had nothing
Exactly.
whatsoever to do with me, other than the fact that I was righteous and blameless in his sight. That's really what
Exactly.
it's about.
I know. It's like physician, heal thyself.
Do you care to read Job's response to Eliphaz? Again, guys, put your stuff aside and just listen. I know we only do this for an hour, so there's a lot of Bible reading in this, but to me, I would rather you hear God's words than my words.
I still like the way that you just throw it all over to me, though, Rick, don't you? Just like
Yes, because you have a beautiful English accent, and they'll listen. If I read it, they're going to be like, that guy's a dumb hick from North Carolina. I don't want to listen to that.
you forget I hear myself all the time. It's nice to hear an American accent. Anyway, we're on chapter 6. So Job responded, I wish my frustration could be weighed, all my calamities laid on the scales. They would outweigh the sands of the seas. No wonder then that my words come out stammered, for the arrows of Shaddai find their mark in me, and my spirit is drinking in their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. Does a wild donkey bray when it has grass? Does an ox low when it has fodder? Can food without flavor be eaten without salt? Do egg whites have any taste? I refuse to touch them. Such food makes me sick. If only I could have my wish granted and God would give me what I am hoping for, that God would decide to crush me, that he would let his hand loose and cut me off, then I would feel consoled, so that even in the face of unending pain, I would be able to rejoice, for I have not denied the words of the Holy One. Have I enough strength to go on waiting? What end can I expect that I should be patient? Is my strength the strength of stones? Is my flesh made of bronze? Clearly, I have no help in myself. Common sense has been driven from me. A friend should be kind to an unhappy man, even to one who abandoned Shaddai. But my brothers are as deceptive as Vardi streams that soon run dry. They may turn dark with ice and be hidden by piled up snow. But as the weather warms up, they vanish. When it's hot, they disappear. Their courses turn this way and that. They go up into the confusing wastes that are lost. The caravans from Tamar look for them. The travelers from Sheba hope to find them. They are disappointed because they were confident on arrival there that they are frustrated. For now, you have become like that. Just seeing my calamity makes you afraid. Did I say to you, give me something, or from your wealth, offer me a bribe on my behalf, or save me from the enemy's grip, or redeem me from the clutches of oppressors? Teach me, and I will be silent. Make me understand how I am at fault. Honest words are forceful indeed. But what do your arguments prove? Do you think your own words constitute argument, while the speech of a desperate man is merely wind? I suppose you would even throw dice for an orphan or barter away your friend. So now, I beg you, look at me. Would I lie to your face? Think it over, please. Don't let wrong be done. Think it over again. My cause is just. Am I saying something wrong? Can't I recognize trouble when I taste it? Oh,
did you feel that?
Oh my gosh, this man, you just want to get up and cuddle him if it wasn't for his sores and make him worse.
I know, but did you feel that?
Yeah.
Like he's sitting there and he's begging his friend. He's like, would you please just listen to me? Will you please get in this with me? Because here's the thing. Eliphaz
is phenomenal.
Yes. There's also, guys, I want to tell you, if you will go ahead and read chapters 8, 9, and 10 for the next study, because the way that this is framed, you're going to see there's two chapters that are Eliphaz, then one of Job. Then there's one where the next gentleman, Bildad, and then there's two of Job. It's this weird, it's almost like a chiasm. But in this particular thing, I created this thing called a tension map. Did you see that? I don't know if you saw that in my notes. I didn't send that to you.
No, I don't think you did.
I called it the tension map because what's going on is Eliphaz is framing him in this particular light, and Job is responding to him, but he's not being rude. He's being brutally honest.
Eliphaz, that's what he says about being honest here. I am honest.
Yes, he's saying, so Eliphaz, I wrote it like this. Eliphaz is asserting a moral equation. He's saying suffering is a harvest and sin is the seed. Therefore, the suffering is what's revealing the sin. And he's not necessarily accusing Job, but it's unavoidable. When he says it that way, Job is hearing it as, you think I've done something wrong and I'm reaping this. And I'm telling you, I'm not reaping anything that I've sown here.
No. I mean, he's got one plus one and he's made four.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, not what? Made two. He hasn't come up with the right reasoning.
And I don't
and
know if
can he, because like we keep going back, he's not privy to the first three chapters.
No, he's not. And here's the thing. Job knows something that these men don't. He knows who he is and what he's done. He knows it better than anybody. But listen to what he says.
And he knows God knows.
Job chapter 6, verse 2 in the CJB says, if only my anguish could be weighed, my calamity put together on the scales, it would outweigh the sands of the sea. This is my words are so wild. He's saying, like, actually, if I was weighed by that, it would be bigger than the sands of the sea. Like, it's far worse, guys.
Exactly.
Like, I'm far worse than you're saying. Yeah. That's not what this is about.
No.
Please hear me. Listen to me so that we can, like, be with me as my friend and listen to this. Please. So, and he's correcting them this way. But here's the critical thing, guys. This is what we should learn from this. Wisdom that refuses to weigh suffering before evaluating speech becomes an accusation. That's what Eliphaz is doing. It's refusing to weigh the suffering. Like, he's not in the suffering with him. Watch what Jesus does when he goes near people that are suffering. Just watch what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in with it, or he heals it. But it says Jesus has compassion on them. Mm-hmm. Remember when he goes, what was the name of the man that was blind from birth? Bartimaeus. And he goes up to Bartimaeus. What will you have me do to you, Bartimaeus? That I might receive my sight. And so he gives it to him. But he didn't just go in there and pop you go. Right? He got involved in it. When people were sick.
Well, he didn't go in there and say, what have you done wrong to be blind in the first place?
No. What was it? John chapter 9. Remember whenever the man that was born blind, same kind of a situation. And the disciples come up and says, what did he do? Or what did his parents do?
Yeah, see?
Jesus said it has nothing to do with the parents or the sin. This was done for your benefit because I'm getting ready to
reveal the glory of God again.
Yes. And that's what's happening in Job, guys. He's revealing himself in this book. You're going to see him before you get done with this book. All of you,
Absolutely.
you're going to see it just like Eliphaz, just like Bildad, just like Zophar, just like Job and his wife, and all of us who are reading the book, you're all going to see who God is by the time you
Elihu.
get to the Elihu even. Yeah, absolutely. Although
I mean, it
Elihu was
reminds me of
good.
that when he said, I know I am young, but it reminds me of Paul when he says, don't let anyone look down on your youth.
Yes. That's exactly right. So I'll just say it like this. There's plenty of tension. I can't give you all of these. Like I can't break them down just because of the time frame. If we wanted to do another hour of this, I could, but I don't think it's necessary. I think that if you look at suffering and interpret it solely as discipline, and by the way, I've had problems in my business and I've asked myself, what did I do to go against God? Like that's the natural human instinct. What did I do wrong to deserve this suffering, God? And sometimes it's for his glory, and sometimes it is correction. But what's important
Absolutely.
is you go to the Lord to find out.
Yeah.
So
I
if you
mean,
don't go to the Lord to talk about it, you'll never
have you ever
know.
shouted at God? I have. When I've been at the depths of despair, I've shouted, why? Why are you not listening to me? Why? You're my father. A father's supposed to love me. I wouldn't let this happen to my children. You sound
Yeah,
almost
what?
like indignant. And God says, oh, carry on.
Yeah, I think
Now,
one
when
time,
you
I think
calm
I told
down,
you
I'll
this.
approach you and tell you why. You'll find out.
Yeah, I think I told you one time that I went outside and I started shaking my fist at the moon,
Absolutely.
yelling at the
I always
moon at
look at the
night.
moon. Yeah, I look
And
at
I'm
the
like,
moon.
why God? It's like, you know what? That's the moon. That's a rock. It has nothing to do with God. But it guards the night. It guides the night, the light at night. But
But
so
again, I think if we're all honest, which is lovely that we can all be honest. It's a bit like, confess your sins to one another that you may hear. But you go to church, or you go to the building where the church go. Not that I do anymore, because I'm not allowed in there. But it's almost like Christians, when they become Christians, they have to act a role because they can't let their Christian halo slip because the estimations will drop in other people's eyes if they actually show what they are. Instead of turning around, the amount of times I've been at a group and people have said, speaking about things wrong. I said, you know what? I let a couple of swear words slip sometimes when I'm really angry. And
Yeah,
they
of
go,
course.
oh, do you know
You're
what?
unholy?
I've done that. I've done that before. And you think, well, it took me to say it before everybody sort of up with their hand and say, yeah, I've done that as well.
Right.
It's almost like, phew, it's not just me. I'm not just the worst Christian in here. We're all
Right.
the same. And I
Yes,
think
we
it's when
are.
you recognize we're all the same and we admit these things to one another, that's when we can truly move on. It's like I say to my children, all the time you pretend to be strong, you remain weak. But as soon as you air your weaknesses, then you become strong. And I've
Amen.
always said that to my children, and it's true. And I said to you earlier on, even in my inability to understand something, I'm extremely confident.
Yes. You know what? All right, so let's wrap this up. I'm gonna wrap this up. There's two thoughts I have I'd like to share and then let you talk about it, Elaine. So there's this one verse that I love. It's something that it's what Job says about his friends that come in. It's verse, oh, where is it? The one where he talks about my friends come in like a torrential flood. That word that's in the Hebrew is wadi, and it's like what happens whenever you have like
It's
the
like,
monsoon season.
that's right.
And he's like, my friends come in like a wadi. You come in, you flood all up in here, and the next thing you know, you're gone.
That's right. That's
Right?
right.
So he's now his presence of his friends doesn't feel like this, like you understand my suffering. It's like, uh-oh, you're coming in like a torrential flood. And
Like a train, aren't
yes, and
they?
the last thing that I want to say in regard to this, just because time is over here for us. If you think that suffering is based on something that you do, then the cross doesn't have the correct meaning in your mind.
Absolutely, 100%, Rick. You're basically saying, I'm sorry, Lord, you're not enough.
Right. You've got to understand Christ had done nothing morally incorrect. Christ didn't sin. Now we know why he was put there, was because of ours. But if you're looking at suffering as a negative because of something that someone did, then you don't understand the Christ because that's not what's going on. God
Exactly.
Himself resolves the problem that we have.
Exactly.
All the stuff going on in Job. God actually resolves in the cross
Exactly,
through Christ
exactly.
and his
Yeah.
resurrection.
And that's just it is, and it again, it going back to Genesis, right way back there, you're introduced to the Savior, aren't you? You know, and it's a love story. It
It
really
is.
is for God's children. God never wanted his children to come from Adam's loins, like the first Adam. He
Right.
wanted them to be born from above because of his son from the heavens. That's what he wanted. He always wanted spiritual children. But like we said
That's
last
good.
time, you have to come here to become one.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, Elaine, I think this has been good. Guys, we read a lot of scripture. We tried to cover as much as we could. I know we
Not so
didn't do
much of
it
the week.
justice.
We read a lot of scripture.
Okay,
Not much of
let's start over. Elaine read all the scripture. I did nothing but sit here and enjoy it. So just,
Oh,
but
dear.
there's
Next time you can, because I like hearing American accents.
fine, I'll read it in my southern vernacular. And then Job said,
Yeah, I'd like that very much. I'd like that. And next time, I think I'm going to read it like you might read it. And we're going to put some emphasis on that there, boy.
gonna get you good, boy.
I'm going to whip your backside for you if you don't get done here now.
And it's unfortunate. The people who are actually commenting the most on this are from Kannapolis, so they understand this vernacular of mine very well. We're from the South, so that's how we talk. So we like to hear a British accent or an English accent. Sorry, English accent.
Exactly. You don't speak with a British accent. You speak with an
Speak with an
English.
English accent. That's correct.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Please give us more of your comments. I know we didn't do these three chapters perfect justice, but you should have gotten the gist of it. Read it
Yeah.
yourself and also sit back and listen to Elaine reading it. It is powerful just to hear it. And if you don't and you want to go ahead, there's all kinds of apps that read it to you. I know the Bible app of mine will read it to me. Sometimes just listening to it is better than reading it, honestly.
I think again, and putting the emphasis on—I mean, not say that I do it wonderfully. I mean, I could do it far better, I'm sure, and there's other people that could. But the point that you're trying to make is you're really trying to get into, without being overly dramatic, you're trying to get into the thought process of the pain of this man. You're really trying to understand where he's coming from, and you know, I know that we're wrapping up here, but I like it when he says in chapter 6, verses. 26 and 27. Do you think your own words constitute argument while the speech of a desperate man is merely wind? I suppose you would even throw dice for an orphan or barter away your friend. The fact is, you know, your own words are constitute an argument while the speech of a desperate man is merely wind. It's just, it doesn't mean anything to them. It's just, I'm desperate here and nothing I'm saying. I mean, it's just heaping trouble and torment and pain. To the nth degree. I mean, you know, talk about kicking a man while he's down. They're getting the boot in there, aren't they?
Yeah, we're going to bring some theological discussion to you now.
Which is the last thing you want.
That's not what you want to hear.
No, you know, a friend should be kind to an unhappy man.
That's right. And
That.
he's like, and again, Eliphaz is like, you've helped the weak need, you've helped them, but now it's touched you and you're impatient. And he's like, I'm not saying I'm impatient. I don't have anybody that's trying to help me out here.
It's you
You're
that's
just sitting
saying
over here
that.
telling me what I'm doing wrong and listening to the dark spirits at night, you goof. Like, where are you at? Anyway,
Oh,
well.
I love the way that I love the answers that Job gives, though. It's far more poetic than we could ever give.
Absolutely. So, guys, read ahead. Chapter 8, 9, and 10. That's what we're going to tackle next time. And Elaine, as always, I appreciate your insight and just I look
Well,
forward to the next study.
I just love it, and like you say, because it's a discussion, and we're discussing. We're not sort of like saying that we've got the handle on this. What we're saying is we're throwing some things out there, our own thoughts, what we feel, what you know, and it's good for everybody to throw their pennyworth in.
Yeah, if anybody wants my notes, I do have a very like large compilation of notes because I've been doing a lot of research here. I'm happy to share them. I'll even put them on Patreon if that's something you want. Just put it in the comments that you want them and I'll send them out. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep them. There's no sense in flooding my Patreon with a bunch of information for no reason. But if you want them, I'll definitely send them out. And
They're
you
worth
know,
having.
well, if I mean they may or may not be right, but they're from my brain and where I'm thinking and where I'm heading. And I'm thinking much like Elaine, this is a love story. That's where I'm heading with
That's,
this. It's a love
yes,
story.
exactly. And I think the thing is, like we said, you know, with many counselors, you know, you get sense. And I think that this is the whole thing. You know, when we bring in our thought process, what your thoughts might, I might go, oh, I never thought of that. And then
Right.
something I might say or a comment that's brought into it, it's like, well, that's interesting. oh, that reminds me of something that so and so said, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. It's iron sharpens iron again.
That's right. That's good. Well, let's end there. God bless you, Elaine. Please give our love to Chris. I'm glad that he's feeling better than he was over the holiday. Yes. Speak. You got to say words and show us that again. Say words.
Say words.
And now show me that. You have to
Big
say
fat little
words.
house.
Hopefully, sometimes with Zoom, last time you showed the heart, nobody saw it. You have to
Oh.
speak and then show the heart, and then people will see the heart. You see my heart, guys?
Hello, people.
Right, well, God bless you guys, and we'll see you next time.
Yep, see you soon.
See ya.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Come back and see you sometime, you hear?
Iron sharpens iron, fire in the soul, faithful and strong, making broken hearts whole. Older teach the young, lifting.